Come aboard, you people. It is a starship, Ro Concha, with Anna DeVlantis, up for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes. And I know, Ro, that we have important things to get to, but yes, as we close out your birthday week, I did want to give you a little presentation here. You were feeling, as I recall, kind of old. You know,
yeah, this is
someone
exciting.
Someone sort of guessed your birthday way wrong on the show. I won't say who, but
Violetta
thought you were 60, and that kind of bothered you a little
you're
bit.
You're not, right?
And I'm like, you're nowhere near 60. You're still a young guy.
Vibrant.
Well, he is near 60, but anyway.
I am not even
60.
Near. It depends on what is near. I'm nearer to 60 than I was when I was 12. That is all I'm willing to give you. So you got me all a childlike thing.
Things to feel young.
Oh,
you know, to remind you that you're still young and you can still enjoy life as a young person and that 60 is so far away that you don't
daughter,
need to think about
did
it.
Did your daughter pick this stuff out?
Yeah.
Gabby, is that a lollipop?
There's a big ginormous lollipop.
It's going to take you
lollipop.
Till 60 to lick that thing.
That just looks
done.
Like an Easter basket. Is that an extra Easter basket you had laying around?
Kind of. Some of it was laying around. But there is a
it's
visor.
All the stuff Gabby didn't want.
It's a rainbow visor find. With the, you know, remember the see-through blue visors that like kind of have
that the sun goes right through for no reason.
That is very nice.
Yeah.
And gummy bears. An inner tube, gummy bears. This is like a big like beach kind of thing.
Wait, are you going to use that stuff? Or
I love gummy bears.
I know. Right. Violetta's like, oh, wait, I could use all of that. All right, hold on. And then a very
sweet
card.
It was a 4-year-old card that I turned into a 54-year-old card.
Okay. Who's 54?
You.
Oh.
You.
Okay.
But you're still young. And remember that.
Which is closer to 50
than
60.
I don't know.
Yeah, how old are you, Judy? What do you want?
I'm closer to 60 now than 50.
Okay.
Wah.
Judy's older than Ro? Wow, this is interesting.
I know. Look at me and look at Ro,
and
right?
And you're older than me, Kevin.
Yeah. Violetta made Ro 60 and made me 30, and I still got a hold. Still in my 20s, all right?
30 probably sounds so old to you.
I mean, that's really a diss when you're still in your 20s and she said you were 30.
Thanks a lot, Violetta.
I didn't say I
look like I'm 12. Where'd you get 30 from?
You look younger.
Me
lot.
Too.
So, Ro, enjoy your inner tube.
Thank you very
and your
much.
Lollipop.
My inner tube. You know what? I got to take the rest of the afternoon off to blow up the inner tube. I get very dizzy while I'm doing that. So, I'm going to have to.
You're going to float down the river in it?
I might. I could. I don't know. I could do. There's a lot of bodies of water that are unnavigable right now or navigable, depending on how you want to look at it. All right. Thank you very much.
Well, happy birthday.
Welcome.
Thank you. We had a
happy
very
birthday
nice
week.
We went out last night as a show. We had a very lovely evening, very entertaining evening.
It was really nice.
Yes. So we want to you know, thank
everybody. You again for that, Ro.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for taking us up.
You're
yes,
welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to
Your
also,
birthday dinner was fabulous.
Thank you. It always is.
It really
thank
was
I
good.
Appreciate it. All right. Okay, enough of this.
All right.
We things we have to get to here. Michael Steele's going to join us here in a few minutes. I think he's going to have a few things to say. So we're going to break down early so we have a little bit more time with him on the other side, because I think he might have some things to say about there are international implications to we, the United States, and what our future looks like. Two fairly significant things have happened here, one just now and one happening early next week. And I don't know that the president when the president wants to pardon a guy who doesn't have a conviction from which he needs to be pardoned, and then wants to ask football players who they'd like to pardon, get a list, I'll get them all done.
Seems like open season on pardoning.
Yeah, it's sort of open season on wackiness, and I don't know how I feel about all of this. All of that is coming your way with Michael Steele, is going to join us in just a few minutes. And then Susie Sunshine is going to be here. Mm-hmm. She's going to tell us all about how the markets don't care about any of this.
It's like nothing to see here, folks.
And
keep
I think
going.
I think what happens here is I think that that the majority of Americans don't care. The majority of people don't care. Humans don't care about this in general. But then even people, you know, who vote and people who are interested in the process and the system and feel like they have a stake in all of this, they also feel like they have a stake in the economy. And if the economy is going fine, you got record unemployment, you've got a record low unemployment, I should say, record, record profitability in some sectors of the economy and a huge, robust market, then they go, well, how bad could the guy be? Right? And it's just, you people just don't understand it. He knows what he's doing. At least we think he knows what he's doing. We hope he knows what he's doing. Good luck to us all. Thank you.
Good luck.
All right. So that's coming your way in this. That's just this hour. Then we got Skilling. Ron Majors will be here to tell us who's going to win the Belmont so he can make some money. We'll make money for you one way or the other. Either
and
in the markets or in the gambling.
Triple crown.
Could be a triple crown tomorrow.
pretty exciting.
About 26 hours from now, we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm counting the minutes. All right, let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
No, I'm not above the law. I never want anybody to be above the law. But the pardons are a very positive thing for a president. I think you see the way I'm using them. And yes, I do have an absolute right to pardon myself, but I'll never have to do it because I didn't do anything wrong. And everybody knows it. There's been no collusion. There's been no obstruction. It's all a made-up fantasy. It's a witch hunt. No collusion, no obstruction, no nothing.
Michael Steele?
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Nice to talk to you this Friday and every Friday.
Yes, it's good to be with you guys.
Mm-hmm. I would like.
So I'm convinced that the president was overcome by the fumes from the helicopter when he stated that in that sound clip. So.
So I want to. I just want to ask you a question because, as many will know, you were the first Republican chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that you're a black guy. Just hear me out. So as a black guy, you must know some guys in jail you'd like to have pardoned. That's what the president is saying about the NFL players. All right, honest to God, he said this today. He goes, the NFL players, they can send me a list of guys that they would like pardoned, and I'll take a look at them. Like, I'm not making it up.
You're not.
I'm going to ask them to recommend to me people that were unfairly treated, friends of theirs or people that they know about, and I'm going to take a look at those applications, and if I find, and my committee finds that they're unfairly treated, then we will pardon them or at least let them out.
How about that? See? There's a little something for you right there. Huh? No?
Yeah, I'll sleep better tonight knowing that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is just, every passing day, moments like that, just one more watching the bar get lower and lower and lower. I mean, at this point, the bar is not even on the ground. It's subterranean.
Yeah.
It's crazy. After he calls them SOBs and says they don't belong in the country, that their rights to First Amendment is superseded by his impression of or his thinking about what, you know, they should do when the flag is raised or the national anthem is played. All of this is just crazy. It's just one more day in the life of a presidency that is unhinged. It just is. He's going up to G7 after effectively cussing everybody out and expecting to be greeted warmly and that they so much want to please Donald Trump that they're going to capitulate and give him what they want. I loved what the Prime Minister of Canada was like, no, we're not letting Russia into the G7. That's not happening.
What a suggestion.
Right. I mean, and so he can't, this guy has got so much Russia on his brains that he doesn't even appreciate what that sentence meant and what that said. And I almost guarantee you guys, mm-hmm. he has no idea why Russia was kicked out of the G.
It's clear. It's clear because he actually did articulate a list of things, and it wasn't the fact that they invaded a sovereign country in Ukraine. That was the reason they were kicked out. And that was not addressed.
No. But the Muhammad Ali thing we just haven't gotten to yet, because he mentioned specifically pardoning Muhammad Ali. And then one of the attorneys for the late, great Ali said, you know, no pardon necessary. The U.S. Supreme Court overturned his conviction in a unanimous decision in 1971. So there's no conviction needed to be overturned.
No
pardon, nothing.
It's just stupid. And he says it because Muhammad Ali is black. Exactly. I mean, he just says that because Ali is black, and he thinks this is all of a sudden going to make black people,
right?
You know,
right.
You know,
he must be guilty of something anyway. I mean, let's face it. Yeah. I mean, just look at the guy, Michael. You know what I'm saying? You hear me? You know what I'm going? You know what's going on there?
Oh my God! It's just.
Yeah,
it's just
I know.
So much.
I know. Well, the piece here And we're going to get to the Muhammad Ali thing in a little bit later, because the lawyer for Muhammad Ali was priceless today in his response, which was, we appreciate the sentiment, but but he doesn't have a conviction on record that could be in any way treated by executive order. And that's the other the piece of this, too. I want to get back to Putin, because that's a really, really, really kind of shocking thing. He said, I mean, the president did, at the helicopter. There were so many doozies from this one, I don't even know where to begin. But he did say, listen, we're busy running the world around here, so we don't have any time. I mean, he literally said those words. We're busy running the world here.
We're running the world.
We don't have time not to have guys like Putin, as part of this. And I'm like, oh, my God.
We're running the world.
Yeah.
I could see a point where Donald Trump just basically, if he gets his way, just turning everything over to Putin and saying, "See, I cleared the pathway for you."
Yeah,
that's the feeling of it.
Not a shot fired. That is the funny piece here. Is why? I mean, why? What does Putin do for him? How does that help him in any way? Right. I mean, how does that?
He gets his hotel in Moscow.
Well, but it also does it keep Putin quiet from something that, he might know or perceive about Donald Trump or whatever? I mean, I don't know.
It clearly gives him. I mean, Putin, somebody's got leverage somewhere. That goes without saying at this point, because you're not that sycophantic about the leader of a country like Russia. Unless there's a very good reason, and it's not just you admire strongmen, but because it makes no sense at every turn from the very beginning of this campaign to the present day. This president has given not just quarter to, but made comfortable anything related to Putin and Russia and his allies. So the question becomes one of how do you explain that? And the only way you can explain it is, what does Putin know about you? What does he have on you that's, of value to the point that would make you behave this way? Yes, yeah, president of the United States. Makes no sense. He's going to North Korea next week. I mean, he's going to Singapore next week to sit down and work with deal with Kim Jong-un, and that's going to be, Lord only knows what that's going to be. I mean, if he's proposing Russia be admitted back to the G8, not realizing why Russia was kicked out of the G8 in the first place, God only knows what he's going to put on table when he gets to Singapore.
Well,
that makes us feel good.
Yeah, but actually, that is the perfect crystallization of my fear. That exactly what he just said, which is that this was Donald Trump unhinged. And by the way, and there's another piece here, too. He points up at the White House and he goes, Melania's up there. She had a really, really bad surgery. 4 hours. She can't fly for 30 days, which the White House never said. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she's not traveling with him right now. OK, that may well be true. Mm-hmm. But if her office didn't want that out, why is he throwing that out? Because then her office had to come out and say, well, she is spending some time recuperating here. And her office yesterday rebuked Rudy Giuliani, who's, I don't know who's wackier. I don't know who's more unplugged, but when Rudy Giuliani was in Israel, he was saying, hey, listen, don't worry about the first lady doesn't believe a word about these affairs that the president has had. So then the spokeswoman for the office of the first lady goes, I don't think the first lady ever talked to Rudy Giuliani about what she thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is important to note about that was deliberate by the first lady's office. And that was direct from the first lady. To push back on any inference that she's been okay with any of the Stormy Daniels stuff.
Yeah. Do you think Trump fought back at her today by saying that? That it was like, hey, listen, she had this big surgery. It's sort of like, yeah, you want to talk out of school? I'll talk out of school.
Yeah.
It's like War of the Roses in there.
It wasn't an abdominal thing. She was just having cosmetic surgery. And that is, it just tells you everything you want to know. This is his wife.
right.
he's talking about.
Right, right.
Come
and
on.
Yeah.
Just think about, I mean, if I went out in public and put my wife's business out like that, I'd just stay out in public because there was no going home.
Right. I mean, she did not want whatever it was. They still say it had to do with her kidneys. They're not acknowledging anything else, but they're saying that she still had, you know, it was a kidney surgery and it was 4 hours on the table now is what they're saying mm-hmm. based on what the president said. So I'm just going to go with that. And I get, you know, I think she's a civilian and she stays out of line of fire here as far as I'm concerned.
No, and she should, but he's the one who's putting her in the story.
I know, but she and boy, as I call him, stay out of it. The adult children, they're all complicit in something. All right, we got to run. Michael, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Thanks, Michael. Right,
appreciate it. Michael Steele, thank you. One. Oh, yeah. Hopefully, we'll all be here next week.
Well, then, you know, we'll check in on Wednesday instead of Friday.
Yeah, probably a better
might be
idea.
Better.
Yeah, a better idea before the missiles fly. All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Later.
All right, here we go. We got Judy Pilot coming up with the WGN Isn't Two.
We have massive trade deficits with almost every country. We will straighten that out. And I'll tell you what, it's what I do. It won't even be hard. And in the end, we'll all get along. But they understand, and, you know, they're trying to act like, well, we fought with you in the wars. They don't mention the fact that they have trade barriers against our farmers. They don't mention the fact that they're charging almost 300% tariffs. When it all straightens out, we'll all be in love again.
We'll all be in love again, the president says, about the other... The leading economies of the world that he's in a fight with are great right. allies.
Meantime, you saw Macron and Trudeau from France and Canada say that, so angry about what he's saying, that the G6 countries could all band together and that our markets cumulatively would be larger than the U.S. So it sounds as if we're inching closer and closer to a trade war scenario here.
G6 plus one. But what the president is saying, you know, the president also brought this up. I found this very interesting. And Susie Sunshine is with us. She is our financial analyst. She's our guru.
She is.
She tells us things that
Ooh,
we don't know.
You.
And she
I
says
try.
It in ways that make it totally understandable.
She understands it at a high level, but she's able to communicate at our level.
Right. At a level right, that we're
somehow
familiar
it works.
With. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is the question. The president mentioned... Canadian drugs, that the Canadians price fix, Canadian government price fixes pharmaceuticals coming from the United States so that it's cheaper for their people. Now, and that's how unfair that is to the pharmaceutical industry. Why would you not be doing that here in the United States as opposed to now punishing Canada where... A good percentage of elderly patients in America buy their drugs from yes. Canada because they're cheaper there.
Yes, they actually go to Canada. And if you live in Detroit or you live in Windsor, you're frequently hopping across the border to pick up your prescriptions. Mm-hmm. So it's perhaps looking at it in a different perspective, because normally what one would say is, all right, how are they able to do this with their system and make it more efficient? Their healthcare system, obviously a little bit different than ours. In some ways, we are fixing the price of drugs here and taking care of it, because remember that Medicare, Medicaid are the biggest healthcare entities, and it's the U.S. government negotiating with the big pharma companies on the prices of the drugs as they sell them to our insured Medicare, Medicaid patients.
Yes, but the Medicare, Medicaid patients, but if you have private insurance,
then it's a different deal. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's, there's talk that perhaps there's going to be a news conference next week where President Trump is going to talk about drug pricing and a surprise announcement. Hmm. And no one really knows what to expect with that. There's some rumor of that in the market right now.
So do you set me up for a raising a problem he'll solve next week?
This is a rather complicated problem, and so I'm not sure that there's an easy solution to this, but I do think it's an easy red flag for him to throw out there, and the way he's framing it is, I think, quite confusing, which is why the market largely ignored it today, because they can't figure out what it actually means.
Well, that's so interesting to me, because it feels as if there are things that directly impact our economy at play here that are big issues that need resolution, and usually you see the market respond to it, but it seems as if things are very optimistic with Wall
Street. The market so far has done an amazing job of tuning out the noise. And I think that the market has grown used to this back and forth of sometimes illogical statements or statements and positions that if you were a capitalist, you would say that doesn't really make sense or it's not how the economy works. I don't quite understand the context in which it's being presented. And so the market has figured out that a lot of this is just noise and sound bites and meant to create media attention, but doesn't actually come through. And so until they get something that's very concrete, so next week could be one of those issues where there's a possibility that on Friday we're going to be hearing more about specific tariffs, $50 billion in additional tariffs.
Because he suspended the initiation of any tariffs right now on the European countries or Canada.
Right, and also with the Chinese products. And so it's a potential next week that we're going to hear specifics about that. And I think that's what the market's largely attuned to is, you know, sort of the repercussions of this weekend's G7 meeting, what happens out of that as well.
Okay.
So I think that is, the market's looking for some specifics that they can actually hang on to because they're used to now hearing these bold, broad-reaching statements that come and go, but don't seem to ever have any impact and don't really stick.
All right. I'm bewildered. I'm just bewildered. I don't know.
I know.
Maybe it's all going to work out just fine. Or we're going to die in an ashy heap. I don't know.
Those are bad choices to have.
It is very confusing. But be aware, next week is a huge week of macro-related news that, you know, the market will be paying attention to. And we are in a little bit of a lull now because earnings are over. They haven't started yet, right? We have to wait to the end of June before we see how the next quarter
new
went.
New earnings, okay.
So new earnings. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, next week we've got a lot of events happening that the market is going to pay attention to. So you've got the Trump-Kim summit. Wednesday, the FOMC is meeting. Thursday, the European Bank.
The Open Markets Committee.
So the Fed is meeting on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The European Bank is meeting on Thursday. The Bank of Japan is meeting on Friday.
And
so boom, boom, boom on potential interest rate, you know, statements.
That's, by the way, the chairman of the Japanese bank.
Is boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yes. We've got the AT&T Time Warner decision. Remember how controversial that was a few months ago. The judge is ruling on whether that merger can proceed now, next week. And then we've got potential commentary on drug prices here in the U.S., additional tariffs, specific tariffs on items coming from China. And then don't forget, just to keep it all fun, at the end of June, we've got an OPEC meeting coming up where it's rumored right now that, you know, the Saudis and Russia are going to say that they're going to ease production constraints. And so we're going to see an increase in the supply of oil potentially.
So then the price could come down.
So then the price could come down, which is good and bad. So it's nice to see that price go down at the gasoline pump. Unlikely, because we're in the high traffic, truly high traffic, literally here, because it's the high driving summer months. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so gas usually trends up in price right about now. But it also means that our energy producers, which have been benefiting as the price of oil has gone up, and they're a big contributor to the economy, they also now are going to see a little bit of tempering. But they're still have heavily reinvested back into the oil fields here in the U.S. And our production has actually been going up while the rest of the world has been shrinking.
There seems to be a lot of talk about specifically the tech sector of the markets and how they've been fueling a lot of this, the optimism, but also the market rally. Are we in danger here that there's a bubble potentially growing there? Is there too much exuberance about these stocks, or are they really the future and we see even more growth?
Well, I think tech has been the big change of productivity. And so as we see the advent of new technology and disruptive technology, that's part of it as well. As we see that move in, I think we're really going to see how these things impact. And that is what the market's responding to. The tech sector has been a driver of these markets. It's ebbed and flowed. It was very strong last year. It was not as strong a component of the upward movement at the beginning of the year. It's come back. And so we're seeing that, I think, infiltrate into as I look at companies and figure out what they're going to do going forward. Mm-hmm. Tech is a big part of who's going to have high demand, who's got products that have growth at the end of them. And, you know, we always talk about, and this is why people obsess over, how many phones is Apple going to sell? What's going on with that? And so you always see that news came out again today and speculation around that. Those are constants in the market right now because we know that's what's actually moving.
Is Susie Sunshine optimistic, partly cloudy or storm front moving in terms of how the rest of 2018 is going to play out here in the markets?
Well, we do typically have some disruption in the markets as we approach midterm elections.
Okay.
So that's not
unusual.
There's
disruption. We don't know if it's going to be super hot and sunny or there's going to be rain clouds. I'm asking you for a weather forecast. Yes, here.
We usually have Tom do it, but it's good to get it from both of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Disruption is a little bit cloudy prior to midterm elections.
Okay.
But then after that, as we pass through them, we generally, historically, you have seen the markets kind of rally and come back because once again, certainty now reasserts itself and the market feels like they have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen.
I have no idea. Certainty is such an important variable in the market. I have no idea why the market is acting the way it is.
What is certain anymore?
Exactly. It's so odd. Well, that's where the market's gotten really good at, I think, just putting earplugs in and ignoring the back and forth rhetoric and the noise and really trying to, I think the market tired itself out just trying to examine that and react to
it. All right. Okay.
And so it stepped aside and we'll see. So I think underlying earnings are going to be really important. And we have to look at that. Another really interesting thing that came out today is Jamie Dimon introducing for the first time, let's get rid of quarterly earnings. Let's have companies focus on the long term and go back to only talking about annual earnings guidance. And that's a big topic for another day, but that tells you where CEO sentiment is headed to.
In other words, I don't want to be judged on every quarter.
That's right.
I don't need a grade every day.
Yeah, just like a year-end review.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't think I need this.
Let's operate for the long term, for a long-term win.
Don't worry. People are going to absolutely love that who are investing in the market.
Right, very controversial.
All right, stand by. Thank you very much, Susie Sunshine.
Thanks,
appreciate
Susan.
You being here. Let's check in now with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour. Tom Skilling being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Hello, Ro.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Anna. Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
It has been nice. We had some interesting storms this morning in parts of the area, but they were selective and things have quieted down. Kind of sets the tone for the weekend. It's going to be warmer this weekend, and we're going to see some pretty good downpours, but there'll be sizable hours of rain-free action. So,
You know what? I think out of deference to the millions of people who are listening right now who care about this, which is the ostensible reason that we talk to you every day, but we never actually get to the weather. This weekend, it's a summer weekend. There's only 13 major summer weekends, right?
I don't like it when you say it that way.
So, and we've already, and we're on our third now.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So let us now stop and talk about, like, give us a little track of what those hours are going to be like.
Yeah. You know what? This evening, about 30% of the area could get in a light shower this evening and early tonight. Late tonight, coverage will increase to 60% of the area. Then we'll start the day with a few. Maybe
is that going to be north, south? Where is that going to be?
Almost anywhere. Okay. This is warm season rainfall. These things pop up. We have some skill at identifying what past circumstances like this have produced in terms of aerial coverage. But point forecasting becomes a whole different matter.
Right. Okay.
But at any rate, 60% coverage later tonight. Tonight. Okay. Tomorrow, the morning might see a leftover shower thunderstorm.
Sweet mother of God.
There'll be some hours where things are okay, and we're going into the 80s tomorrow. We'll get some clouds and a little mixed sun, and then the storms will bubble up in the afternoon. Best coverage, though, is tomorrow night, and there'll be several clusters on Sunday, too. And when the weekend is over, by the time it's over, we'll have gotten widespread 1 to 2 inch totals, but the area's outlook by the Weather Service hydrologic people is being an area of potential excessive rainfall.
So if people are going up to Wisconsin or Michigan for their weekends, is it going to be the same thing there?
Pretty much, yes. Yes, this is a pretty general pattern across the region. But to keep in mind, there'll be many hours where it is not raining. When it does rain, it could come down substantially and be thundery. And we're even outlooked from this area south for maybe a couple of these storms to be severe. So we'll keep an eye on that possibility over the weekend. But, you know, it's just not the kind of weekend where we're going to see a sun up to sundown rain.
So, think so the middle of the day tomorrow.
During those windows, get out and enjoy your life.
And tomorrow should be, this weekend will be about 8 degrees warmer than last weekend. And that's quite a substantial increase. Today, we've been cool in the wake of the rains. But I do think we're going to sneak back into the warm air sector tomorrow. And while it'll be a little cooler along the lake, we'll probably get up to 85 away from the lake tomorrow.
Yay!
So,
Tom, could you also answer this question for
Sure.
us? I do have the monitors up in front. Can you see the radio monitor?
The radio? No, I can't, Ro. I'm sorry.
I know what you're going to ask. I know what you're going to ask. Because if you were able to see the visuals of the members of the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis' team, you might ask a question.
Really? Now, are you guys wearing some crazy wardrobes?
We would like to know why it is that Violetta is wearing sunglasses indoors, is what we would like to know.
Well, these windows here are very nice, but today the sky is like that bright kind of
bright
gray,
white.
And it's like really white, and the shades are down, but you know,
I like that, by the way. What is the and so the don't do you have shades in your she's in the new studio.
I can't get it. I can't get the one that's really bothering me down. It's like stuck.
So you're in the new facility, right, Violetta?
She is,
yeah.
She is, and we're in the Tribune Tower. So.
Yes. Rowan and I'm out here in Bradley Place. Boy, this is
just wonderful.
We are just scattered all over the place.
I know. That's the beauty of radio. You'd never know.
Right.
I know.
You'd never know.
Gee.
So I look up at the screen here. I mean, she's across the river and through the woods away from us.
Yeah.
And I look. Yeah.
It's like,
I look and I see she's wearing sunglasses and I'm like, why is she doing that?
Yeah.
And I know we were out last night.
Is the sun shining much brighter over on that side of the river than on this side of the river?
Gee.
Is that possible?
Look, there are areas where we're getting a peek of the sun, but I don't think it's anything quite like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I know the answer to this question.
Yes, okay. What do you think it is?
I think it has more to do with our behavior last night than it does
current
circumstance.
I wondered if you guys had kind of a wild Ro Khan birthday week. Night. Is
my
that what went on?
My eyes might be a little more sensitive than usual.
The first bottle of wine lasted approximately 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Not 5 minutes.
I don't think so.
All right, the first bottle of wine.
5 seconds.
Here is exactly what happened. What had happened was this.
See, what had happened was...
We sat down.
Yeah.
And there were, seven
eight
of us? Eight of us.
Kind of like the G8.
Yeah, right.
And then the adult beverages came out. Is that what...
So we sat down, and they said, well, would anybody like a cocktail?
Yeah.
And they said, we'd like to send over a bottle of wine. This was at Armand's Victory Tap on Michigan Avenue. We want to thank them.
Uh-huh.
So they sent over a couple of bottles of wine. So, and then, you know, everybody else at the table ordered a cocktail. Now, I was thinking to myself, you know, I'll just have a glass of wine. I'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure. It'll
be fine. So the first bottle of wine just gets split up and it's over. It's empty as they pour it out.
It's basically a little taster.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then the second bottle of wine, we kind of add that. Within 4 minutes, both bottles of wine were dead. And I'm like,
wow.
And so I look at the waiter. I'm like, send two more bottles of wine. And then send two more bottles of wine. Send two more bottles of wine. It kept going. That the end of the night, it was like I saw... You know, when they brought out the check, it wasn't just like a check.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like
it went in circles.
The Dead Sea Scrolls is what it looked like.
I see. Oh, kind of one of these multi-page kind of bills.
Yes.
Turn to page 6 for more information.
Which increased the national debt and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, wait a second.
Well, I'm like, wow, you know, the only bottles that haven't been touched on the table or opened were the water bottles.
Oh, I didn't even see those.
See? Yeah.
So the healthy stuff was ignored. And, you know, Violetta.
So that's why she's wearing sunglasses. Long story short, she's wearing sunglasses because of that.
I see.
It's very sunny here.
In your office.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm used to the dungeon. I'll take the dungeon today at the Trib. You know, on a little.
Well, I'll tell you, Violetta, it sounds like you approached the wine situation like most of us do potato chips, you know, where
you can't
eat just one. And in the case of the bottles of wine, you can't drink just one.
Let me tell you something. Judy kept trying to put her hand over her glass and I just kept pouring the wine out of her hand.
It was that thing like, no, don't. Wow. And then you're like kind of looking in their eyes. They're like, no, they.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, maybe a little.
I have a headache right now myself.
Yeah. Oh, Judy.
So I think everybody got a little.
Did you want to borrow my glasses,
Yeah,
Judy?
I need a beer to get over last night.
Judy, are you over in the new facility, too?
I am.
Yeah, yeah, because I talked to Kim in the newsroom, and she's over there. Yeah,
we are all here now in the fabulous new news.
Well, not all of us. But.
Richard Roper has just stepped in. He was there last night as
Oh, boy.
He drank the most, if you ask me.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, that's just to be polite.
No sunglasses. You know,
I'm the sixth man off the bench here, Tom. Tom, listen, I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but I got 27 bags of to-go orders. That's not bad form to do that, right when Ro was about to get the check.
Right.
Can I get 10 more of the meatballs?
Well, you need something to tide you over through the weekend, you know, to the next birthday.
Yeah.
And
it will.
Yeah.
The wine happened. And the ravioli were flowing.
Hey, now what happens to the Carnauba wagon on in the situations like this where we have...
Oh, God, we're having the Carnauba wagon today?
Yeah. We're not, actually, because of White Sox baseball.
Yeah, it's Alka-Seltzer, Tylenol.
Well, I was going to say, does somebody wheel it from Michigan Avenue over to the new complex?
It's already been sent over there, right?
Uh-huh.
I believe it's already...
Yeah, thumbs up.
Don't worry, we're taking care of it over here.
I got you.
It was like one of those New Orleans funerals. Tom, went on for about 3 hours.
Right. We'll have to invite you out with us next time, Tom.
Oh, I'll tell you. It sounds
dibs. I want to sit next to Tom.
Yeah. I have a glass of wine and I start laughing. You know,
you're a hoot.
It's just, that's it. I've been told that you know, I'm not much of a drinker, I'm afraid.
We have a bottle of wine and we start screaming.
I think the whole restaurant sort of cleared out slowly.
It did.
But the tables around, did you notice that? There was this sweet little family next to us and another little family
little
around
kids.
The left.
Wow.
And they kept yelling about my selfies. No one wanted to take selfies with me, Tom.
She kept
Terrible, Violetta. Gee.
She said, let me
No
get
wonder you were imbibing a little bit. You know, that's kind of depressing.
Yeah, no. That's not the problem. Mm-hmm. She said, I want to get a picture of the show. So she then stepped about 10 paces away from us, sat down in a chair, and turned around. So she was in the foreground, and then the whole table of us
were
about half a mile away.
That's how you have to capture everyone, okay? I'm not going to explain the dynamics of a selfie with the group.
Thank you, because we can't figure that out. Because the Instagram is so complicated.
It
takes a Kardashian level of knowledge to be able to figure out Instagram.
Well, it sounds like you guys have been. Now, Kevin, you were behaved through this?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right.
We celebrated the proper way. Yes. Before I was trying to leave, and Roper handed me a glass that was like 2 feet tall full of cold beer. I'm like, okay, all right.
And Tom, Kev starts to look like he gets that frat boy red face look on.
Yeah.
Like he's a villain in a John Hughes movie about 1987. You know?
Kevin had that look about him. Although Kevin also is, you know, he loves to sample the food.
Yes.
So
he was doing that too.
Oh, there was a moment where they were going to take. They had a steak. We had a bone-in steak all
that
cut up, sliced up for us, and they were about to take part of it away. And Kevin jumped on it like a grenade.
He did.
It was like I've never seen anything like it. And he grabs the bone and goes, "I've got this."
That's the Kevin we all know and love.
Let me tell you something, Tom. Yeah. The bones on Kev's plate are cleaner than Sue's.
Gotcha.
The T-Rex.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
More pristine.
It's good meat. I'm not going to waste it. I was nibbling on it. Yeah.
Well, he kept doing a lot of that over there on the other side of the table. You guys going to finish that? Well,
yeah, there was a lot of that.
I get anxiety when I see a plate full and they're about to take it. I'm like, whoa, where is that food
That's
going?
Pardon my reach. There was a lot of that.
All I want to say is if nobody, you know, because we're on radio, if they didn't recognize us, they would have recognized this stupid repartee at that table that we were having last night. And people are going, that's that show from the radio, isn't
right.
it? They're bickering just like
that's
they do
that
on
bunch
the radio.
Of the afternoon on WGN. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it was.
It sounds like you guys had a good time, though. Yeah, seriously.
It sounds like it. I don't remember, but it does kind of sound like we did, Tom.
Richard, now how are you going to review movies if you're in that state of mind?
You know what, Tom? About 60% of the movies you need to be in that state to review them.
To handle
you know
it,
that.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll dispatch you guys to the G7. That would make that whole thing interesting,
I don't think they need any more chaos over there.
No, that's probably true.
Well, he's leaving anyway. He's there. He's going to have a few meetings. He's leaving early. Got there late, and he's leaving early.
Wouldn't you love to be a mouse in the corner of that room, you know, to hear that discussion? Because I can't believe our president was warmly greeted at that gathering.
Well, I wouldn't say warm. I don't think it was a weird walk. You know, they make them take a walk.
Yeah.
Like it looks a little like The Bachelor when they're when the thing starts, there's like a big camera on a jib, you know, where the camera's moving, yes. And it's watching the president walk across this lawn,
yeah.
And then up on a platform, it's the president and prime minister and first lady of Canada, mm-hmm. and they have to sit there and do the grab and grin, you know, where they shake each other's hands,
yeah.
And it was like, and now it's 6'2", 260 pounds, yeah. From Queens, New York, you know, it's like, and he comes in and he walks across, and he looked like he was so like, I don't want to be here. Yeah. I can't believe, yeah. I got to put up with these people. That the little German twerp is going to yell at me. Oh, but it was like he had this whole thing about him. Yeah. There was a lot of negativity, I thought. Anyway.
I would imagine there was, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Hey, Tom, did you hear, too, that the president is considering pardoning the one-armed man from The Fugitive? So
really?
We're watching that closely.
That's the latest one?
Right after, yeah. Muhammad
Ali.
He's
treated very unfairly by Dr. Richard Kimball, he says. I know.
What a great movie that was.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Don't, and by the way, you know, you're only half kidding, because right. He's just being told about people to. And by Tom, if you're in the NFL, I don't know if you've ever played in the NFL, but if you're in the NFL and you know somebody who needs a pardon, let him know.
Because
he's got a special NFL package going on this weekend. This weekend only at the White House.
Guys, can you imagine me playing for the NFL? That shouldn't even come up, you know?
I know. All right, I got to run here. But Tom, thank you. Thank you for telling us what's happening this weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the warm up.
Talk to you next week.
Happy Friday.
All right, there he is, Tom Skilling. All right, brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems. Right now, if you're calling number 7 at 312-981-7200, you win a pair of tickets to Uncork and Unwind. The wine tasting at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, on Sunday, July 8th. Experience award-winning wines, live entertainment, and gourmet food. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Or for more details, FourWindsCasino.com. We check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour, if you could see your script?
A Greek town carjacker should have thought twice about who he was targeting. We'll tell you why.
That's going to be a good story. First of all, the valet parkers there, they will cut you if you try to take a car.
They're professionals.
Yeah. That's like a whole lifestyle there, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm interested in what happens there. Violetta? Yep, it's the Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, mm-hmm. on 720 WGN. We are preparing ourselves, as we do on this program. Mr. Richard Roper is here. Yeah. We are preparing ourselves for a triple crown.
Okay. Don't you like the sound of that?
And exciting.
Since this show has been on the air on WGN in the last 3 years, we have had the distinct pleasure and honor to entertain one Triple Crown winner. Maybe we'll get a second one here. And Jim Miller is joining us. He is, I like this at Hawthorne. If you've been to Hawthorne, mm-hmm. you're familiar with Jim. He is an on-air analyst for them. He is an odds maker. He's director of publicity. He's a clocker, and he's the backup announcer.
What don't you do?
You named most of it right there. I mean, you do a little bit of everything, but in racing nowadays, you almost have to. But I started out really young, so I just learned as many jobs as I could along the way. Some of them I wanted to do, some of them I didn't want to do, like backup announcer. But you know, when your announcer goes down with laryngitis, somebody has to do it. So they say, go in and start talking. And you have no choice. The horses break from the gate. True. You better start talking.
There fire. Is
no more thankless a job at any racetrack in America than the clocker.
What does the clocker do?
The clocker is a guy who times the horses when they're doing their workouts.
Hmm.
And the workouts are published. They're an important part of the parimutuel betting that goes on. Mm. It's one of the factors that people look at in terms of you know, how good is this horse. And they have it. It's at the bottom. If you look, and when you look at the racing form, there's a lot of things there. It's very confusing. You almost need a PhD to get through the whole thing. But the clocking numbers, the workout numbers at the bottom are important. And so if Jim gives a horse too fast of a time, because it did run that time accurately, there will be some trainer or some owner who'll go up to him and go, hey, what are you doing?
Oh, it's insane. And these guys will do it. They try. They come up, I'll slow it down a little bit. Or did that horse really go that fast or anything like that? And the thing
pressure.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Right. Because they don't want people knowing that that's a good horse.
Right. And you could have, say, we have three clockers up there. you could have 20 horses going at the same time. So it's multiple crazy stopwatches. You're trying to keep everything in order. And we do a good job of it, but it's one of those things. Some people bet solely on a horse's workouts. It's insane.
Yes. I think we saw some big swings before the Derby, Jim, based on some of those
And that's all it was, that last workout leading into the race, how a horse handles the track. Everybody, they want to see how this horse works, how it gallops out in that. But it's so important to some people. Others completely toss it out the window. But that's all the information you get.
That's why these railbirds that we get, that are very important. The people, the track guys, and they don't really speak English. They speak horse. It's a totally different language.
I've heard it, and I don't understand it. Right. It is a different language.
It is. It's part Cajun, part Spanish, part English, and then literally just, you know.
Equestrian.
And that's it. all right. Let's talk a little bit about the field here.
Yeah.
Because Justify is your favorite. And I would just, as an odds maker, I want to get your thoughts on this. Justify right now in the the line as it exists now, it'll change an hour before the race tomorrow. But 4 to 5, no better alive can survive anything to 5 is the way that I look at this. So do you bet around him?
I personally bet around him, and the biggest thing about it, especially when a horse is going for the Triple Crown, all of a sudden you take this everyday bettor who may have been watching the Derby, because everybody watches the Derby. Well, they followed this horse into the Preakness, and now the horse is going for history. So that means all of a sudden the amount of visibility to this horse is so much larger. And because of that, you get some of these everyday bettors, and they just pile on the horse because they want to see history. And that's why the odds will be so short on Justify. So for me personally, as a player, I look for value amongst a field like this, because this is a talented field, and there actually will be a lot of value, because Justify, I think, probably goes off even shorter than 4 to 5, probably 3 to 5 or 2 to 5. And you just look at the crowds at Belmont Park. When there's not a horse going for the Triple Crown, you get 60, 70,000 people there. Horse goes for the Triple Crown, that number inflates to 100,000 people just on site for the race. So just the visibility of the race overall with a horse going for a Triple Crown, it's just exponential.
And
so,
a lot of bettors, they'll just do the $2 bet like on American Pharoah. They never cash that ticket. They just want to have that souvenir.
That's true. Who's the best chance of being a spoiler here, though, for Justify, if you really had to pick that?
You know what? A lot of people are going to talk about the horses that ran really close to Justify in the Preakness. Bravazo ran a gigantic race. Tenfold ran a gigantic race there. For me, I think you have to look at that a horse that's a little bit more fresh. I mean, the thing that's so hard about the Triple Crown is you're doing 3 races in a matter of 5 weeks for these young horses, and that takes a lot out of these horses. So for me, I'm looking at some of these horses that may have raced in the Kentucky Derby, skipped the Preakness, and then come back into this spot. So I really like a horse by the name of Vino Rosso, familiar with racing in New York. You have a trainer in Todd Pletcher who's won training titles galore in New York. So he knows how to get these horses ready for this racetrack. But the thing that's important about Vino Rosso, Todd Pletcher has 2 horses in this race. So he has Noble Indy in here also, who could just be a horse that his sole purpose is to go out there and make it tough on Justify to try to win a Triple Crown. Go out, push him along on the lead, and maybe set things up for a horse like Vino Rosso to come running late.
All right.
I like it.
I think that's, I mean, Vino Rosso definitely would be my second favorite in this race.
Okay.
I want to see
Vino. They had you at Vino.
They did have me at Vino.
Stop right there.
And I think we had enough Vino.
And this is the vitamin water guys. This is very interesting. The ownership group in this is a very interesting thing. It's a great story. A couple of kids grew up in Queens. One in Brooklyn, one in Queens, and they would go to Belmont. You know, they'd sneak away from school when they were teenagers and go to Belmont. They both became independently wealthy, and they got together, and they were buddies that would go to the track together, and now they bought this horse, and they're racing to spoil the Triple Crown. All right, we've all speculated. Now let's find out what's really going to happen. We have, on the Super Celebrity Hotline, the greatest horseman that I know, that I owe money to, Ron Majors, and he has the answer from the Swami, who is our team leader, the Swami, who is our chief prognosticator.
Yes.
And he's the guy that called Mind That Bird.
He did.
He called the 60-1 shot to win the Kentucky Derby.
Unbelievable.
What was that, 7, 8 years ago now. So let's talk about this. Who do we, does Swami think Justify is going to win?
No.
Ooh.
How's that for an answer?
Wow.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, Ron, good talking to you. Thanks for...
Thanks, Rich. By the way, Jim Miller is a great handicapper, and I'm in agreement with him on a lot of horses.
Okay.
What Swami says is he doesn't think Justify can win the race, but he can't tell you who will. So we're kind
of...
What
kind of prognostication is that? That doesn't help me.
Well, let me tell you why. If you go back and look at Justify's past performances, either from the start or very quickly after the start, Justify has been on the lead in every race. He wants to be out front. He's comfortable running there. And trainers will tell you that one of the hardest things to do in the game is teach a fast horse to go slower. And that's what they're going to have to do with Justify to win this race. This is a mile and a half. None of these horses have ever raced that far. None of them ever will again. The Belmont is almost unique. There are very few races ever for American horses at a mile and a half. So he needs to conserve energy. And once he gets out there on the lead, will you be able to get him to slow down, rate, take it easy, relax? You won't if Todd Fletcher does what Jim Miller just mentioned. If he sends his other horse, Noble Indy, out there to go head-to-head with Justify, then Justify has a serious problem.
Oh, boy.
I also agree with Jim Miller that I like the more lightly raced horses, the ones that might have been in the Derby and then took some time off. I love Vino Rosso. I happen to like Hofburg. I can like Tenfold. And I can also tell you that the horse named for the New England Patriot, Gronkowski, before he came to the United States, we know people in Europe who thought this was a really, really good horse. And then he had some physical issues and couldn't run in the Triple Crown at all. But a very good trainer named Chad Brown has got him maybe ready for the Belmont. So you can't overlook Gronkowski. Well, there's a bunch of horses you can make money on if you don't bet Justify.
Wouldn't you worry, though, Ron, wouldn't you worry about that horse Gronkowski getting a little drunk the night before the race?
Being a little too crazy,
just
maybe.
Saying.
Dancing somewhere, exactly.
You know what? Let me get on YouTube and see if I can find where he's been this week.
Oh, man. All right. I'm the lone one here. I am the lone man.
What are you going
to
tell us?
I'm going to tell you that I believe that you are going to see at the end of this race, it is going to be 1-8-3. It is going to be Justify, Vino Rosso, and Bravazo.
Okay.
There you go. 1-8-3.
Okay.
That's not a bad thing, though.
Yeah,
everybody's going to cheer for
you. Want to pick one?
I'm so bad at this. I can't pick it. I listen, and I've actually, I've done well with the picks from this.
Kev, you'll play 1-8-3, right? Because Kev does anything I tell him to do.
I'm playing whatever Ro tells me to play.
Yes, so you play 1-8-3. And then on Monday, you're going to come in here, you're going to go, Ro, you were a genius. And this Ron Majors and this Swami who can't make up his mind and Jim Miller, they don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. All right, Jim, what do you got?
It's a fun betting up. It really is a very fun betting opportunity. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I will bet against Justify, and part of me will be rooting for him to do it.
Sentiment.
But he's right. And here's the coolest thing about Justify and the running style, like Ron mentioned. You have a horse going for the Triple Crown. You get some of these horses that come from off the pace going for the Triple Crown, and they never get a call because they never get into the race. They're just having to work too much ground. Thing about Justify is this horse will be forwardly placed from the start. The whole focus of the entire race is going to be on Justify, from the announcer, from the fans, the roar of the crowd, everything. When they go into the final turn, Justify will be right there. The biggest question is how this horse is going to handle that final quarter of a mile. It's a very long track, large sweeping turns there, and this horse will face pressure not only from Noble Indy, probably from Gronkowski also, and it's just going to be a matter of if the horse can dig in, show that he's all heart, because he showed that he was all heart in the Preakness, or if somebody's just going to run him down late. For me, it's going to be Vino Rosso. I think that he can run him down late.
I think you might get a horse race at the end of this race because it appears to me that Justify is one of those horses when he makes eye contact with another horse, that instinct kicks in and he wants to get ahead of him.
And that's what differentiates horses. Horses are pack animals. They just want to run within the pack. It's what differentiates this horse to get him out front ahead of those at the end. And Justify has shown that he has that.
Yes, that's why I like him in this race. I think he could even get nosed somewhere in the home stretch and still has another gear. Again, it's a mile and a half. You want to think of it this way. It's a quarter mile further than the longest race they've already run.
Correct. Right? And they won't even go a mile and a quarter again aside from the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Right. Right. So that's if they, I mean, some of these will never race again because they're going to, you know, come up. I mean, if Justify wins this, I don't know if they try to take Justify on the glory tour. I think never having lost a race and won the Triple Crown,
I think
he's at least $100,000 a throw in the stud world. So,
and that's where the money's made in racing now. I mean, talk about Ron. Ron knows like where the money's made. But here's the thing. You will probably only see him race till the end of his three-year-old season.
That's and better that would than be Stormy it. Daniels. Listen, Jim and Ron. And Ro and Anna, here they come down the stretch. It's going to be Blended Citizen and Vino Rosso neck and neck. Justify a disappointing fifth, fading in the stretch, and it's going to finish. It's going to be 8-10-10-8, 8-10-10-8, photo finish 8-10-3.
Why do you like Blended Citizen?
Because nobody else picked.
I was going to say, I haven't heard anybody.
Here's the one thing, though, you have to watch about Blended Citizen. He is the only horse in the race that has won over the Belmont track in his career. Only one that's even raced over it, and he's won over it in his last start.
Thank you, Jim.
They're going to get some rain out there tomorrow, too. So, but slop has not been the problem. All right, Ron, would you give us your top three?
Yeah, I'll go with Vino Rosso, Hofburg, and I'm going to throw Gronkowski in.
Okay.
I like Ron's. He's always close to those tries. That guy.
That is true.
All right. Okay. People are all wrong. Of course, that's the funny. I say that when I go to the betting window, and then I come back, and Ron and Swami are sitting there, and they go, "Were we wrong? Were we really wrong?" After the race is over,
sometimes you just go straight to the car after the race.
Right, I avoid them. I avoid eye contact with them. All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, and I want to, Jim. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Hawthorne's gonna have a fun summer, right? A lot going on there.
Yeah. Very busy. Harness racing all summer long. Thoroughbreds again in the fall. We're year round now.
Yep. Fantastic.
All right.
See you for sure.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you being here. All right, let's check with Judy right now. What's coming up at the top of the hour? All right, it's Ro Concha with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper has stepped into the studio, and we are ready for a top five at five, because if it's 5 o'clock...
It's the top five on the Ro Concha Show.
Five,
let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Ro Concha Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. I don't have a choice. Here we go.
Number five.
Well, the president says that he wants to grant pardons. Maybe as many as 3,000 pardons. He's soliciting suggestions from the NFL.
Do you have to be a celebrity to solicit to give him a suggestion?
It helps.
He honestly has asked the NFL players. You guys must know people who are in jail. Do you have people you'd like me to pardon? Let me know.
You have a lot of people in the NFL in particular, but in sports leagues, they're not proud enough to stand for our national anthem. I don't like that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say to them, instead of talk, it's all talk, talk, talk. We have a great country. You should stand for our national anthem. You shouldn't go in a locker room when our national anthem is played. I am going to ask all of those people to recommend to me, because that's what they're protesting, people that they think were unfairly treated by the justice system. And I understand that.
Because I'm about to be unfairly treated by the justice system, too.
How big is the pardon power? Can you pardon yourself?
You know what I think?
Well, he said. He said it again today. He tripled down on that he can pardon himself.
Pardon himself if he needs to. I think what's particularly despicable is when he says it's all talk, 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 when hundreds of NFL athletes have donated time and money and effort and their names. I mean,
Chris Long played for free last year.
Colin Kaepernick over $1 million last year. And not to mention that, but all the work and everything. For him to say that, as someone who never did any charity work, made very few charitable donations, would show up for drive-by photo ops at various fundraisers, for him to say that is particularly despicable.
His foundation, I mean, we could talk about the Clinton Global Initiative and all that, and was that a gigantic Ponzi scheme or whatever? Not Ponzi scheme, but it would have been a racket. Is that what it was?
Pay for play, whatever
you want to say about that, you may say. And I don't think I would disagree with you. However, the Trump Foundation is not Trump's money. He would shake down money from other people. Mm. that would go into the Trump Foundation that they would use. He didn't never use the corporate money for that.
He had to be media shamed into writing checks even after he pledged them during his campaign or after he was president.
Right.
Where they would just keep checking up and checking up and checking up on him.
But wait, but here's the best. This was a jaw dropping moment right here because he's getting a little coy. All right, you're going to pardon people? You're going to pardon people? Yeah. Who are we going to pardon? How are we going to pardon them? And he decides he wants to kind of play with us a little bit, but he's got another idea for a pardon.
There will be more pardons. I thought Alice yesterday was beautiful. I thought Jack Johnson, which was recommended by Sylvester Stallone and some great boxers, I thought Jack Johnson was a great one. I'm thinking about somebody that you all know very well, and he went through a lot, and he wasn't very popular then. And he wasn't very popular then. No, I'm not thinking about OJ. But he's not. Only you could say OJ.
What? Is it Blagojevich?
Wow. Yeah, there's that. Wait, who could he be talking about?
He was not very popular then. He certainly, his memory is very popular now. I'm thinking about Muhammad Ali. I'm thinking about that very seriously. And some others. And some folks that have sentences that aren't fair. But I am thinking about Muhammad Ali.
And okay. Then, you know, polite applause, like, oh, Muhammad Ali, yeah. Oh, what a great idea. Oh, I remember, he was in trouble because he was a conscientious objector and he didn't want to go to the war. So they were going to put him in jail. Oh, yes, we should pardon him for that.
Right.
There's only one problem with that.
There's a big problem with that.
He was, the case against him was overturned by the United States Supreme Court unanimously in 1971.
Correct.
There is nothing to pardon him for.
There's no conviction.
Was it OJ?
That's
Kevin. Only was
you
there.
You can't ask that, Kevin.
Only you could ask that. You're a moron.
Is that what he meant? I was like,
I thought
yeah.
He meant because he of the race.
He was just talking to no. He was just talking to somebody back there because oh, you like you'd ask me about OJ.
Is it OJ? OJ.
Oh gosh. All right. I thought that was the story of the day.
Number four.
Cleveland Cavaliers forward LeBron James talked to reporters ahead of Game 4 of the NBA Finals. He says the Cavs could have used someone like Dwayne Wade this particular postseason.
Not only from a brotherhood aspect and what we know about one another, but just and also from an experience, factor. I believe that. You know, he would have been very, very good for us in the postseason. You know, he's a guy who's kind of built for the postseason at this point in his career, who lives for the moment. So you definitely think about that. And it seems so long ago that he was even a part of his ball club, you know, but definitely think about it from time to time.
They still would have lost.
Really?
Yeah, no chance. Mm.
How could LeBron James be losing?
Congratulations to the Washington Capitals. You know, they're getting invited to the White House. The president already said that neither the Cavs or the Warriors are going to get invited to the White House. He already said that today. Because no, they don't want to come. I don't want them. They're not coming. Now, the Washington Capitals, because Ovechkin is a Russian, maybe he gets
sure.
to go.
Big yeah. year for Russians in D.C.
There you go.
They're having a good run.
They are having a very good run in D.C.
On a roll.
We now run town.
Jeez.
All right, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Hey, author Joyce Carol Oates will be at Printers Row Lit Fest June 9th. Get tickets right now, printersrowlitfest.org.
All right, we continue on here. The top five at five, we're up to...
Number three.
Passengers on a Spirit Airlines flight were in for a few laughs when the flight attendant turned his announcement into a comedy routine. Rod Leon Amerikanoff... That sounds like a stand-up comic's name.
It does.
Who was on the plane departing from O'Hare, posted a video of the employee free-balling it here.
Going to turn off the lights, the rest of them anyway. Above you see it, there's a green light air vent and a picture of a button with a flight attendant on it. However, just recently we have been rated once again as the worst airline for customer service in the United States. So I wouldn't bother pushing that button. That's right. Thank you. Yes. We're the best at the worst, okay? And I'm all right with that. Because if we were the best, I would have to act professional right now. And I just can't do that. No. So anyways, let's just get that straight. Because I'm just here for the money. Okay.
Maybe maybe a
little. No, thank you.
No, a little too loose, I think.
So it all kind of happened when I was a child, and my mom didn't really treat me right.
And what is that? What is that guy doing?
You know what? Anesthesiologist, waiter, flight attendant, never comedy. Thank you very much. Those are my three.
Checking in at
number two.
The police coming straight from the underground. A young got it bad because I'm brown.
All right, 30 years ago, NWA released this song.
Jeez.
People still play it, blasting out of their their cars. Mm-hmm. The car speakers started to take the windows down, blast this. One guy at a gas station in Michigan probably shouldn't have done that.
Oh, jeez.
Because there was a police cruiser in the gas station.
Oh, gee.
His name is James Webb, and he says that a sheriff's deputy gave him a ticket after he pulled into a Pontiac, Michigan gas station while playing that song. Webb believes he was given the ticket because the song is called F the Police.
I went over there and went ahead and played that song loud. I meant to do it to the officer, but as a form of protest. It was already up, but I turned it up louder. Didn't even, you know, didn't mean no violence, no nothing, just as a complete form of protest.
Moron. One witness who was getting a ticket before Webb pulled into the lot explained the attitude that the police officer had.
The cop was talking to me, handing me my ticket, and the cop was like, is he playing that for me? I was like, well, I don't know him. You asked him that question. He was like, I'm sick of this. I'm going over there now.
Oh, boy.
Gosh.
Kind of asking for it.
There's an attorney, as you might imagine, who has inserted himself into the case.
If the officer's saying it wasn't the content of the music, I mean, it's quite a coincidence then, you know, the name of the song being F the Police, and he's a police officer. I wonder if he would write the same ticket if he heard a song called I Love the Police. James had an absolute right, a First Amendment right, to play whatever music he likes, really wherever he likes.
Fast track to the Supreme Court for that attorney. Taking on all the cases.
All right. And finally,
number one.
All right. We all woke up to the very, very sad news today that Anthony Bourdain, chef, storyteller, writer, television star, explorer of culture, cuisine, and the human condition, took his own life last night while in Europe.
Yeah.
Here he is with John Williams talking about his love of the Chicago hot dog.
Are ours better or different than the rest of the world's?
It's really funny. You find sort of a local hot dog mutation everywhere. Some of them are really bizarro. I was one of these guys who thought that the state-of-the-art dog was, of course, the New York Dirty Water hot dog or maybe Papaya King in New York. I have to say, I prefer Chicago Red Hots. I prefer the Chicago hot dog to any other.
Is it mustard here and ketchup there?
It's all the garnishes, the celery, salt, and all of that, the pickle, that weird, all the condiments and garnishes. I like that.
All right. Wow. Anthony Bourdain, I think he changed a lot of people's lives.
I do too.
And he had a very troubled life. Mm. He had been an addict. He chose to become a father at the age of 50 because he didn't think he was really capable of doing it before then. He leaves behind an 11-year-old daughter. Mm. He leaves behind family members and Asia Argento, who is his girlfriend. And it's two tough suicides this week. But you know, the one thing about Anthony Bourdain, I think, is that when you watch this show, he taught you that it's safe to try new things, new places, to try new cuisine. And he is a great contributor, I think, was a great contributor to the culture of the United States. So Anthony Bourdain was 61.
The top five at five.